Good morning, church. It is great to be with you again. Allow me to read a passage. It's going to illustrate what it's like to have God's perspective of our battles as we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's found in 1 Samuel 17. In this passage, the children of Israel are facing off against the Philistine on the battlefield. And Goliath, the Philistine champion, is challenging the children of Israel to a man-on-man fight, winner take all. So David is a young boy who's visiting his brothers. He's also the main writer of the Psalms that we've been studying. He accepts the challenge. And we pick up the passage in verse 44 when it says, "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' Then David responds, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" What an amazing passage. The fight is God's, and ours is the victory. Would you stand and join us on this song?
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. You are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. But all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our...
Sing it again.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you have joined with us this morning. And let me encourage you, whether you're watching online or you're here in person, to register your attendance with the little cards at the end of the pew. If you could do that, that'd be great. Just a few announcements that we do want to bring to your attention. First of all, the dates of the Vacation Bible School, June 21st to the 25th. And if you are able to help, I would ask, you know, don't wait on this one. Please reach out to Renee Aldridge. We are looking forward to this. I know that if you've seen what Renee does at Vacation Bible School, it's amazing. And she's going to do that again with Lord willing, all of our help. Just a few other quick announcements we want to bring to your attention. The men's softball is returning, and so there's information here. If you're new to the church and you want to get involved, or you've been here for a while, it's like, I've always wanted to do that. That would be a great thing. Again, you can get involved in that. The men's golf outing is coming up. And also, there is a need for childcare. They are hiring childcare on Friday nights to help out with Celebrate Recovery. You can contact Robin Leong. So the information is in the bulletin. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and just commit our time to the Lord. Lord, we do come to you. I thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, I know you're going to speak to us today through word, through song. And so, Lord, we give our lives to you. I pray that this would be a day where there is a change in our hearts and that you would bring it about according to your word. Lord, I lift up the needs, and there are so many. We have people that are going through tests and have had diagnosis, and there's all kinds of things that are going on, and yet the battle is yours, Lord, and I pray that we would look to you. Lord, as always, you have told us to pray for not only those around us, but to pray for our leaders, and so we do. We pray for our government, pray for President Biden and all that govern this land, all the way down to the local areas, that you would move in their lives, that we could live a quiet and peaceable life. Lord, I pray for us that we would be right in the center of your will. So we commit ourselves, Lord, and we would pray that get us off of places that would not be good for us. And Lord, just may you be the center. So we commit our lives to you and just thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, wait, well, one last thing before we, one last announcement. It is communion time. At the end of the service, I hope you grabbed one of these. Let's do it right now, partially open. Now, the first part, the top part, can cause you to sin. I just want you to, so that's the tough one. If you can get the top one, everything else is golden. And by the way, we do a deacon fellowship offering at the end of the service. That is to help people in need. So as long as we have that, because it's, last time, Pastor Jason did communion, and I think at the end of the communion service, it was. I'm seeing five. What does five mean? Okay. I know they're talking to me in the back. Okay, at that time, I'm going to do that later. I got this. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord.
According to Psalm 23, God is with us. What do we have to fear? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. In every high, in every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. Glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, live to know you here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. Sing that again. Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. In every high, every low. Never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Sing that part again. I can see a light. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. You never let go of me. One more time in that chorus. Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go. In every high,
every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your Son for redemption, the price for my love. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Has been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest, your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. I know I need you now. My heart has been in your sight long before my first breath. Running into your arms, running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest, your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Father, thank you so much for reassuring us you are always there. We can run to you. Thank you for reassuring us that the battle is yours. I love the line in this song, God. I don't have a context for the kind of love that you show. No one would ever, that I can think of, while I was yet a sinner, decide to send his only son to die for me. That's a love that doesn't have a context in this world. That's what makes it divine, and that what makes it only coming from you. Thank you for dying for us, Heavenly Father, sending your son to die for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were undeserving. And thank you for being the one that we can run to as we fight the battles here. Remind ourselves that the battle is yours. And we have the victory because of that battle. Because of your fighting. We love you very much. Thank you for your word and the words that are going to be brought right now. I lift this up and pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated.
Trish, Ed, you guys come on up here. So, last week was Ed's 5-year anniversary at Crosspoint, and he was down in Florida working on his killer tan. But I just wanted to publicly thank God for you guys, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It has been an absolute joy to work with you. Ed helps us when we're planning our sermons. He's a godly man. He's a man of truth. He is fun to work with. You guys are such a help, and we're blessed as a church. I want you to know that we really are. You have made my job easier. You are so good, and both of you. They help me out with funerals all the time. You're just amazing, and so I wanted, you know, now I know what you guys were saying with five. In the back they're saying, don't forget Ed. Trust me, I'm not going to forget Ed. And we have a great staff here, and I just want to thank God for you. And I want to pray over you guys right now. So if we can, let's pray for Ed and Trish. Lord, I thank you. In your sovereign plan 5 years ago, little more than that, I was pumping gas at the Costco station and Trish was there. And she came up and said, do you need a sound guy or a music guy? And I said, yes, we do. And that was your sovereign plan. And Lord, we thank you. I thank you for these two servants. Lord, I pray that you would bless their family, that your blessing would be upon them. Lord, we acknowledge your goodness to us, and we love these guys, and we just want to say thank you publicly to you, Lord, for your goodness. And I just so love and appreciate these two. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. And if you want to send them 5 rolls of $100 bills, I'm sure they wouldn't. So we're in Psalm 23 today, and let me invite you to stand, and we're going to read through the psalm. This is our third message. Well, I'm going to put the words up on the screen. You probably don't need it because you already have it memorized, but let's stand together, and it's in your bulletin, and we're going to read it together. Follow along as I read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And you may be seated. So, this morning, we are going to deal with verse 4, and really not even all of it, which says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Last week, Pastor Jason mentioned a book by Philip Keller, a book titled A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And Mr. Keller is not only a pastor and an author, but he was a shepherd for 8 years. And in his book, Keller points out that it is the seasonal passage from the lowlands where the sheep spend the winter through the valley to the high pastures where they go into the summer. That valley where they go are places that are rich. There are lots of water. There's rich pastures, but they're also a place of extreme danger. Wild animals lurk in the rocks. Sudden storms may sweep along the valley floors and may cause floods. The sun does not shine well because you're in the valley, and at any moment you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, many pastors have used this to refer to the valleys of life, and I think that that is an appropriate application. Because everyone goes through valleys. Right now, everyone just look to your left and right. Just kind of do a quick look. Look around if you need to, if you're in the front row. Okay, the people that you're looking at right now, they either are in a valley, they just came out of a valley, or they're going to be going into one soon. It's just the way it is. People, we live in a world that no one has a pass on this, and it is my job, it is our job, as pastors and elders, to try to equip you to go through the valleys of life. And really, every week I'm getting phone calls where I'm talking with people and we're kind of going through things and helping people out in those moments. So what I want to do is start off by looking at five realities about the valley. And I think thing just died on me. Here we go. Five realities about the valley that we're going to go through. And young people, I need you young people to listen. There's some graduates, new college graduates that graduated just a couple days ago. We're happy for you. We're going to have a graduation Sunday, but you particularly need to listen up as we go through these five. Number one, everyone goes through valleys. They are inevitable. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. But take care, I have overcome the world. If you live long enough, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have difficulties. Your kids are going to have difficulties. They come in waves. They do come in waves. How many of you have ever been to the Sleeping Bear Dunes and climbed the dunes? Raise your hand. Okay, at least half of you have been there. If you've been to the dunes and you've climbed the dunes and you get up to the top and you say, I wonder if I can make it to the water. And so you go up to the next peak and you say, okay, it looks like it's one valley over. And so you go through that valley and you get to the top. And are you at the water? No. And you go down into another valley and you come out. Are you at the end? No. I've never made it because we never prepare. It's always hot. It's always worse than you think. And that is how life is. Although we can't choose to say, I'm not going to do any more valleys. We don't have that option. So it's just a part of life. One thing that I have learned not to say anymore is this. I can't believe that is happening to me. Or, are you kidding me? I do say, are you kidding me? But nothing should surprise you. I mean, I do it all the time. I say, wow, I can't believe that thing broke. I just bought it. I can't believe I was in that accident. I can't believe I got sick. I can't believe that person died. I can't believe people are so mean and hurtful. I can't believe, I can't believe, I can't believe. It's like, as if something like, I'm just surprised that it happened. And things shouldn't surprise us. We live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. That's reality. And unless you're like putting your head in the sand, it's not good. Even within our own souls, we're sinners and we know that. And so everybody will experience heartache and pain and natural disasters and staggering loss and injustice and inhumanity and decay and people lying and falsehood and discord and trouble. It's just part of life. It's so easy to say, wow, and I know, kids, if you're here, you shouldn't say this. Wow, that's just stupid. What they're doing is just stupid. Well, it's part of the fall, and that's just the way it is. And guess what? Sometimes we are the stupid, and it just happens. So just know that's part of life. Number two, valleys are almost always unpredictable and unexpected. In James chapter 4, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, spend a year there, trade and make a profit, yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears and then for a little time and then vanishes away. It goes on to say, instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. There is no doubt that life can change in a moment. A call from the doctor, a call that there's been an accident, a call from your boss. Your spouse walks in and says, I'm done. And it's just part of it. I was working on this point, this very, very point, on Tuesday afternoon. I just walked out of Pastor Jason's office, and I was saying, you know, who in the church could I talk to, maybe have to give a testimony of something that happened unpredictable and unexpected? And several of you came to mind, because there's some of you that have gone through horrible things. And just then, I get a call from the police. I'm a chaplain, so to go out and help with the death notification. So I go and I spend hours with this grieving mother whose 46-year-old son died suddenly. No reason. He was healthy. He had no issues. He took no medicines. He wasn't a druggie. Matter of fact, the medical examiner, they got the report back and they found nothing. And I spent hours with this dear mother, and she's asking the questions why and why and why, and she was in a valley, and that valley will go on for a while. And none of us are immune from it. Number three, valleys happen to everyone, and I mean everyone. Job 5:7 says, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. You cannot nor will have enough money to protect yourselves from it. Not enough education, not enough status. There's not anything anybody can do to put themselves in a bubble so they will not run into suffering and pain. Now, one of the Psalms, Psalm 73, and I think there's a couple of these, where it appears like the wicked are getting away with it. It says this, it says, for I was grieved of the arrogance when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Behold, the riches, you know, their riches increase. It's like their life is easy. Their life is good. And yet you can look at people and say, why do I suffer? Why do I go from valley to valley? And there's other people who go unscathed. Well, I'm here to say no one goes unscathed. You don't know their troubles. And in some cases, you would not want to swap troubles with them. Sure, if their car breaks, they can go out and buy a new car. If their home explodes, they can build another one. But they will still have trouble. They'll have trouble of soul. It happens to everyone. Number four. Valleys are temporary for the believer, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valley. They are temporary. It doesn't seem that way. It really doesn't. I know in my life that some of the valleys I've been in, it's like, are you kidding me? How long is this going to go on? But then you get to the place where you look and it's like, wait a minute. I'm out of the valley. Now, there'll come a day when I'll go into a valley, and it will be the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus will take me home, and that will be glorious. That will be glorious for the believer. But It is truly temporary. Some people will struggle sometimes for 70, 80 years, but even then, it is a vapor. Your life is flying by. You know what today is? May 2nd. I mean, what happened? We blinked, and guess what? You're going to blink again, and it's going to be fall. And you're going, everyone says, don't blink. We love the summer. And I get it, but listen, it is temporary, brothers and sisters. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know, if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. And so, we just got to hold on. You have to hold on. And we're gonna talk about how we do that. So, these valleys, they're inevitable, they're unpredictable, they're unexpected, they happen to everybody. They are temporary for the believer. Number five, valleys serve a purpose for the believer. This is hard, but this is good. Nobody grows when everything's great. You don't. You don't grow when everything's perfect. No one does. You just don't. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God does not, he does not waste suffering and pain. He doesn't. He doesn't. Again, I love the mountaintops. I'm not a big fan of trials, but if you were to look at my life and I were to look at your life, and this is why I'm a big fan that you need to journal what's going on in your life. If you look back, it was during those times where you had to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, you got to help me here. You got to help me or I die. And the scriptures are full of it. I can give you some of these passages. James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, kind of one of the most irritating passages in the Bible, but it's really not, because God's trying to say to us that it's good. For we know that the testing of your faith develops steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Someone has said, all sunshine and no rain make a desert. If you have sun and there's no rain, and we love that, but your grass will wither, there'll be a water shortage, and sooner or later, if it goes on for a long time, it's not good. Romans 5:3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. And again, he goes on to this list, knowing that it produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you one more. I could give you several that talk about the how God uses suffering, which none of us like. But 2 Corinthians 1:8, and I have all these in the program for you. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were utterly beyond our strength, and we despaired of life itself. You will get to the place where you will despair of life sometimes. It says in verse 9, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. That is one of the great things about trials. You can fight the Lord on this one, or you can hold on to him. But you're going to have to rely on him. We have to as believers. Now, point B, the problem of fear in the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But the problem is, fear's a real deal. So, got a couple signs here. Number one, fear. We all have it. And my question is, what do you fear? Because we all fear something. I don't care how strong, how macho you are, how spiritual you are, everybody fears something. I do. I'm not saying I'm proud of it. There's a lot of things I fear. I know that it can become so paralyzing, and you can focus your whole life on the fear. And we all can. And by the way, I'm not going to criticize anyone's fears, and neither should you. But there's a spectrum within this room. Let's go through them. I asked my wife, what's the one thing you fear in life? And you know what she said to me? I fear that I would lose a child. That's a real, you know, that's a legitimate fear. Zero she can do about it. You know what I fear? I fear my body falling apart. It already is. But I see what some of our people go through. I will take communion this afternoon to Mark Tobler. I mention him all the time because my heart breaks. That guy lies in a bed day after day. Sometimes they can get him out because he doesn't have bed sores. And I look at that and I'm saying, ooh, Lord. Now, would he give me the grace and mercy to handle it that time? Yep. Some people fear, oh, this virus is going to kill me. Some people fear, and we all have, by the way, we don't just have one fear. We fear what's going on in the world, that our country is collapsing. You can't give away money. You just can't keep doing that. I talk to many business owners. They can't find people to work. Why? Because they're being paid to do nothing. I fear for my grandchildren. What kind of world are they going to grow up in? And here's the problem with our fears. Again, we all have them. I fear that the government's going to take away our freedoms. And so we all got the fears. And the problem is, if I hang around my fear too much, and then I bring people around me, and we start talking about it, oh, we have a big old pity party around our fear. That is how life is. I don't care. You take your fear, and if we separated people in the sanctuary and said, okay, everyone who has a fear for their grandkids, raise your hand, and everyone go to that corner, and then we start talking. And everyone, you know, fear what's going on with the virus, you go to this corner. And everyone fear that's going on with your freedoms, go to this corner. And everyone fears that's going on, and you could go, everyone go to a corner, and then next thing you know, we would just get worked up. We get worked up talking to each other. That's how it is. And you can go online and turn on the news, and it will feed your fears. It just flat out does. Have you ever had an ache and pain and gone on the internet to WebMD? And you, worst case scenario, I'm going to die. You know, how many times, and if you're a glass half empty person, that is what is happening. And again, I'm not critical of your fears because I got my own set. Now, let's look at the antidote for fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Lord, you are with me. And this is where we have to focus on God's promises and who he is. You know, Moses, when the Israelites were traveling and they sent spies into Canaan, and they were 12 spies that they sent out. And God said, I'm giving you that land. And they 12 spies went out and they all came back, and 10 of them were living in fear. And they said, man, this place is great, but the people are giants and were like grasshoppers, and they exaggerated the claims, and they ended up grumbling and succumbed to fear and did not do what the Lord told them to do. And that very thing that happens to the Israelites happens to us as well. There's a Scottish minister named Alexander McLaren, I think it is, from the 1800s, and he said, "Faith, which is trust, and fear are opposite poles. If one has one, he can scarcely have the other in vigorous operation." So let me pull out. Let's talk about trust over here. What the point that Mr. McLaren is making is this. You can't have both of these at one time. You can't. If you are fearful, you're not trusting. And if you're trusting, fear is going to be reduced, greatly reduced. Now, hear me out. This doesn't mean you don't do things. This doesn't mean you don't lock your doors. Doesn't mean you don't prepare financially. Doesn't mean you don't wear a mask, get a vaccine. Doesn't mean you go out and you buy a gun to protect your house. And you say, "Oh, so you wear a seatbelt, you do the things, you go to the doctor, you get checkups, but at the end of the day, your hope is in none of those things. Are you hearing me? Our hope is in the Lord. And that's the part, here's the part where we all struggle if we're honest. Because I can go from utter trust in the Lord, like he's got me, everything's good. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And then I can go over here and next thing you know, I'm fearful. And it comes over you like a wave. And we end up not doing what the Lord wants us to do. And yet, the scripture says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You're the God of the universe. You have my life. Yes, I need to use wisdom on things. But you can have every vaccine possible. You can have all the money you think you want that is secure. You can build a fort with a moat, with a machine gun turret. It's not going to protect you. At the end of the day, your hope and your trust needs to be firmly in the Lord and in his word. And to preach to ourselves the truth of God's word. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Now, brothers and sisters, our problem sometimes is we don't even know we're here. We don't even know we're here. And like I said, I could be here with my little fear that I have, and I start talking to some of my people who have the same fears that I do, and next thing you know, we are spun up. We're spun up. And someone in that group, and it needs to be you, it needs to be me, needs to say, wait a minute. We got to preach to ourselves what God's word says. We're going to trust the Lord. We're going to be wise, but we're going to trust the Lord. Because he has your life. And even though your greatest fear, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it may take your life. But we will fear no evil. Why? Because our life is a vapor. We know that we're here for a little while. And eye have not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind can imagine what God's prepared for those that love him. When we end this series, we will be talking about heaven, which is glorious. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But my concern for us, as we turn to the Lord's table, is you got to know, what am I really fearing? And how am I holding on to it? Because you can lift this fear up and you can squeeze it. It's like, oh, my family. Oh, my finances. Oh, fill in the blank. My health, my this, my that. And at the end of the day, the Lord's got us. Now, part of partaking of the Lord's table. It's a table for believers, but it's also a chance for us to say, all right, I need to clear the slate. And so, as we partake, then when the scripture says, let a person examine himself so that he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have fallen asleep. You've died. And so there's a sense in which we need to confess and deal with our sins. So as we prepare for the Lord's table right now, let's just lay before the Lord our greatest fears and even our secondary fears, and just confess them to the Lord and talk to him about it. So just bow your heads and just take a few moments, you and the Lord. Lord, we do come before you as your children. And we know that your word is so clear to us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Lord, you are with us. Father, forgive us for times where we have held on to fears in an irrational way. Lord, forgive us when we have been critical of other people's fears. Lord, forgive us for when we have been consumed with trying to protect ourselves to the lack of trusting you. Lord, we know that Jesus died on the cross and he paid the price for our sins and he bore the wrath that our sins deserve that we might be forgiven. And he has given us a future and a hope, and when we trust him, he has our lives both now and forevermore. So help us, Lord, to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Not a means of earning our salvation, Lord, but in the reality of what you have done for us. So, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And as we partake of the Lord's table, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to take the elements. And I'm going to pray for the bread which represents the Lord's body. Father, we come as we hold this little wafer in our hand. We are reminded of what Jesus went through in his body for us. Lord, you made him who had no sin to bear our sin. It was Jesus who was taking the punishment that for everything that we've ever done wrong or thought wrong. Lord, he was beaten, he was spat upon, he was nailed to a cross. And that was meant for us. And so we remember what he has done and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the bread. Then he took the cup. Let's thank the Lord for the cup. Lord, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So we thank you, Lord, that Jesus was the spotless lamb who takes away the sins of the whole world. And in your mercy, you have made us alive. We have trusted you. Lord, we thank you that our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we thank you that even though your word says, fear not, fear not, fear not, over and over again, when we do fear, Lord, you are the one, when we turn to you, that reminds us that it is well with our soul. Lord, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that we have. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Let's partake. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This song is about that one that's with us, the one that he wants to for us to place our trust in him. And reduce and get rid of the fear. Listen to the first part of this, and when you're ready, you can join in and sing.
You've always been faithful.
to my soul.
Would you stand and sing this chorus?
I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go.
I want to end this service with a passage that is probably fairly familiar for all of you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Father, I pray that this week we would live that passage out for your glory. And all God's people said, amen.